kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, so blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who lives forever.
This evening to the house of the Lord. We have a lot of visitors, so we just want to welcome you today. Let's change it up a little bit, the speed here. Let's sing that song, Give Me Oil, My Lamp. I have C. We'll try it.
So give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. So give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Just keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. One more time. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, now sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, just sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. And I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will
Take our needs before the Lord this evening. He touched me, shackled by a heavy burden.
So shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt. And oh, touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and
continue to play that softly there, sister. I just have a few prayer requests written down here that we just want to bring before the Lord. And if I could have Brother Ben come up and pray over these after I'm finished. I just want you all to remember Sister Shirley Buchanan, my grandmother. She's at home this evening, not feeling very well, very sick with vertigo. So just please remember that need. Also remember my mother, Sister Sarah. She's at home working, has had a very busy and long day, and also is dealing with a very bad migraine headache. So just remember her, if you would. And I just want to remember Brother Barry and Sister Becky, who are traveling this week and into the weekend. So just remember them, that the Lord will be with them and protect them. But that's all the spoken prayer requests I have. Just hold your needs to your heart, though, as we go to the Lord this evening. And Brother Ben, if you would come and pray.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a real honor and a privilege, Lord, just to be able to take time out during the week, Lord, from a busy schedule, and just be able to come and worship you, Father, with our brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we don't take that lightly. We're very, very appreciative of it, Father. And Lord, Brother Mitch just brought these prayer requests, Father. Lord, you know all the needs, Lord Jesus. I can't remember all of them, but you know them, Father. And Lord, the unspoken needs as well, Father, whether it's physical, spiritual, Lord, even financial, Father, you can deal with the situation, Father, and touch it, Lord. We just ask a special prayer request, Father, for Brother Barry and Sister Becky, as they're in Idaho for the camp that Brother Barry's preaching there, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you'll bless the camp there, Father. Bless Brother Barry. And Lord, we ask that you'll bless our worship tonight, Lord. Be with Brother Mitch. And Father, as the word comes tonight, Lord, we just ask that you'll be with the speaker, Lord. And help us, Lord, just to grow a little bit more as we leave here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. We're just going to sing a couple songs here before we have Brother Barry come this evening. Keep it in the same key.
He is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen, he is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name. Amen. He is here. touch him, and you will never be the same.
One more time.
For he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch. From the ends of the earth I cry, your peace will lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry, your peace will lead me to a rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. Oh, for you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will shelter of your wings. So hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry, your peace will lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Oh, hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry, your peace will lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. Lord, I will abide with you forever. your wings.
Amen. If you would continue to play that softly, if you will stand. Johnny, if you would pray. Sing that song, Let Go, and let God have his wonderful way. Let's just sing it as Brother Burley comes this evening. So let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way.
Your heart's desire tonight to let go and let God have his way. Amen. God bless you. It's good to see everyone. It's been a minute since we've been this way, but we're happy to be here by the grace of God. Amen. And we just like to just go ahead and we get to the word. We bring your greetings from the church back home. We sent their greetings, and we just same as you guys, pressing on in this battle. Thank you, musicians. Amen. And it's good to be here. And we trust and pray that Brother Barry and them having wonderful services where they're at. And, of course, he called me the other day. He pulled me out my cave. I don't got to a place. I don't too much care to go nowhere. I just like staying at home. But if it's okay, we just do it by God's grace. Amen. So we are here. Amen. And let's turn to, I want to go to Genesis chapter 24. And we want to just go to verse 50. We just, this is a very familiar scripture that we read a lot about Rebekah. So we just jumping into the ending of the conversation before she left. And, of course, we know Eliezer. He explained to them his commission. And he didn't want them to hinder his commission. And after he explained everything to them, this is where Laban and Bethuel began to respond and give him an answer. Let's go to verse 50. It said, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. In other words, Eliezer have told them everything, how he ended up coming that way. And they could not refute what he was saying. So they said, we can't say unto thee good or bad. He said, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, and the Lord, as the Lord has spoken. He said, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the ground, to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of gold, of silver, and jewels of gold and raiment. And he gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. They did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. They called Rebekah and said unto her, would thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Now we just pray that you would just speak into our hearts, and we commit everything into thy hands, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I got several scriptures I would like to refer to, but my subject this evening is the moving of the supernatural to forsake all. The moving of the supernatural to forsake all. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe with all of my heart, every member of the bride of Jesus Christ, before God takes you, or before the rapture take place, the things that we need to forsake in life will be forsaken. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. So now I want to we're going to go down to Matthew chapter 8, and we're just going to read some things here, and I pray we could just see what's taking place here in these scriptures. These are scriptures that we actually read all the time, but we want to see the supernatural element that is taking places in these scriptures. God knows that some of us have problems forsaking all. Amen. God knows that. But God, that's why God, by us being the elect of God, God will create. Now, if you're the elect of God, God's going to cause things to happen to make you forsake. If it's anything that's in between you and him, he's going to cause things to make you forsake them. Because God knows that some of us, we just get a little attached to things. We actually know it's a hindrance, but we don't want to get rid of it. We know we should, but we seem to struggle. But God has a way of doing things, and I believe it's supernatural how he does it. Amen. Because we're living in a time, brothers and sisters, it's the time to lay aside everything, every dead weight, and just lay them things aside, because it's not going to help us. I've never seen a time like it is today where people just don't got so loose. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about right here around this message, their lives are so loose. They're doing everything that the world is doing and probably more, but the only difference from them in the world, they sneak and do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's just laying right out there. People wondering why they are not getting out of church, why their lives is not prospering. and they at a stale part in their life, and they wonder why. But when you ask them what they're doing, they watching movies, they watching going to the movies, and all this nonsense, and they're wondering why they're not getting nowhere with God. Let me tell you, friend, none of us, as we're involved in those kind of things, we'll never get nowhere with God. Can we say praise the Lord? People don't got so bad now, they even get into movies with profanity in it, all this cursing. If people are doing stuff like that, there's no way in the world you're going into a rapture watching stuff like that. It just ain't going to happen, because the Holy Ghost don't feed on stuff like that. I know this is a little old-fashioned preaching, but I think it's going to happen now through the years. Preachers don't let down the bars. You might as well just call it just the way it is. Because God's going to have a bride. Amen. Can we say amen? He's going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. I was just preaching that at my own church. God's going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. Can we say praise the Lord? I said, now I'm going to tell you right now, when you pull clothes out of a washing machine, they are wrinkled. Is that right? But when you iron them because you want to look presentable, you know, a cold iron ain't going to do you no good. It's got to be a hot iron. Can we say amen? So God's going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he ain't going to use a cold iron. He's going to use a hot iron with tests and trials to get everything seamed out the way that it's supposed to be. That's what God is going to do. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't worry about who's going to stay in the mess and who's going to leave. Those things don't bother me. Don't worry me, because God has a bride. Amen. He knows exactly who is here. I'm not going to twist nothing to try to keep people in church or say something to pacify and make somebody feel so good. No, it's just going to preach the word. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Because if we are the elect of God, we're going to love the word of God. Can we say, man, we're going to hate the things of this world. We're going to hate the things of the enemy. And we're going to love the things of God. When you love God, nobody got to push you. Nobody got to persuade you. You're going to come to church because it's your duty. You're going to praise him because you love it and you want to. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? All of this begging and persuading people, them days are over. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. All this nonsense. It's a lot of nonsense and stuff going on, because it has to be that way, because it's going home time, all of the pressure. You're really just seeing who is who. Amen. Who is who? People are like, wow, I can't believe that. That's the message. I can't believe it. I said, they was never born again. Hello? Because when you are born again, you can't leave Christ. You can't leave the word. It's impossible when you are born again. Praise the Lord. But there is a supernatural, the grace of God, things that he does for the elect. When he realized some people have a little more problems, God said, I got a way. I'll make it happen. Are you with me? Now, let's look right here in Matthew chapter 8. And we're just going to see the patterns in the Bible, how things happen or what they did, and compare it to today. Amen. Matthew chapter 8. Now, let's go to verse 18. The scripture says this. Now, when Jesus, excuse me. It says, now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now notice, he's telling Jesus that. But now, that sounds so beautiful. People, oh, gracious, he's standing the master. I'm going to follow him. How beautiful that is. But look how Jesus just goes straight to the point. Listen what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not nowhere to lay his head. Look what Jesus just put it to him. You say you want to follow me? I don't even have a house. I don't have a house. I don't have nowhere to lay my head. He's actually throwing a challenge to this individual. They say they want to follow him. He just said, I ain't got nowhere to live. Are you with me? Now to see if this man really want to follow him, he just threw it right out. Then we get another disciple. Verse 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now, that seems less, that's horrible. Say something like that to somebody today.
They'll tell you, what's wrong with you? You got no sympathy. You're crazy. You're not. You see, I'm hurt. I'm in pain from the burying my dad. And you're going to say something like that? Yeah. But look what Jesus just told him. Let the dead bury the dead. This individual just walked. See, it was something supernatural causing them to respond that way. Because this is not normal stuff. Are you with me? Let's just keep going. Verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So when you make up your heart and your mind, you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't expect nothing to go easy. We think, oh, it's going to be smooth sailing now. That ain't the way it worked. Now they are following him. Now watch verse 24. Now, verse 23. And when they was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Notice, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Soon as they decide to follow him, now problems come. That's always going to be when you really follow the Lord. Friends, let me tell you something. If you ain't going through nothing, you ain't got no problems, you might want to check your experience. Problems automatically come with it. But the thing of it is, we don't worry about problems. We don't run from problems because we got the solutions to the problem. And then he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We perish. He said unto them, why are you fearful? Oh, you a little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. Amen. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. So when we follow the Lord, everything seemed to go wrong. But that means you're on the right track. Let me tell you something. It's a lot of stuff going wrong in your life. It's only two things. You're on the right track following the Lord, or you don't cause something to cause some problems come to you. That's why every individual got to do a checkup when everything going wrong. Check yourself. Have I caused this? Am I reaping what I sowed? Or I'm in the line of duty. Just like Brother Branham said, when you are in the line of duty, you don't worry about nothing what the devil tried to bring before you. God takes care of you. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And let's go to verse 9. It's interesting, simple scriptures. But look at the supernatural element behind it to when they make their decision. He says here, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. He said unto him, follow me. He arose and followed him. He didn't say, Jesus, let me finish my hours today. Let me finish the shift. Jesus just walked up to him. Follow me. He quit his job. Follow him. That's not natural. But something supernatural was moving where they had no problem to say, I'll follow him. Are you with me? Now compare today, people say, I really want to love to follow the Lord, but this, I got to do this and this, and it's something wrong. Uh-huh. Something wrong. When you want to follow God, you ain't gonna make up no excuses. Right. You're going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to kill all excuses. Amen. You either want to be, we got to come to a place, friend, just like Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, he said, choose today who you're going to serve. As of me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Every one of us got to have that determination. I'm going to serve God regardless. Amen. But I'm not going to serve him halfway. That's where the problem comes. People want to serve him halfway. You got to have your heart and your mind made up. I'm going all the way with Jesus. And there's no turning back. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, a tax collector. Jesus walking up, Matthew probably saying, look up, where's your information? I can tell you how much tax, give me your receipt. Nope, Jesus just walked up, probably stayed in line like a gentleman, waiting for everybody else to pay their taxes. And then when he come up, Matthew looked up, Jesus said, follow me. He dropped pen, paper, and everything. Followed him. And when he followed him, you keep going down the scripture, then the Pharisees said, look at this man. He even fellowship with the publicans and so forth. Matthew wasn't worried about that because it was something that connected him to Jesus Christ. Amen. He wasn't worried about no job or nothing. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I've been in this message 35 years, and I'm so thankful to say, when it come to me, because I didn't go to it come to me. When it come to me, I didn't worry about nothing. What I'm going to do or what I need to give up. All my desire was is to please him. When I come to this, when God brought me to this, but all the excuses people use today, when it comes to the end of the day, you just ain't ready to serve him. You want to be in the world, then be in the church, in and out. Your mind is not made up. Because when your heart or your mind is made up, amen, you'll walk away from everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, if you're bouncing around, but you're the elect of God, he's going to shake your world. He's going to get you either way. He's going to get you. I can guarantee you that. So come the easy way. Praise the Lord. I'm not mad. I'm happy. I'm excited. Can we say amen? And I ain't giving no excuse for excuses. Because it's got to be real. You're either going to serve him or you're not. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a pretender. Don't be a make-believer. Amen. Be a real believer. Amen. Face the challenges. Don't run from them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to this Luke 14, verse 25. And there was a great multitude with him. He turned and said unto them, now look at the scenery. They just following him. Great multitude just following him. Then look what he turns around and say. He turned around and he said, if any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, sisters, yea, even his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. That seems so cruel. Just turn around and tell people that. It seems so cruel. But Jesus didn't mind the challenge. You say you really want to follow me? What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to take your cross and follow me? What are you willing to give up? I'm going to tell you something. Serving the Lord, you got to give up stuff. And the stuff you got to give up is whatever contrary to the word, you got to give it up. Amen. My goodness. Father, mother, wife, children, brethren, which we got a clear understanding that don't mean hate as I hate you. No. Other words, I'm not going to let you get in front of me. When it comes to me serving my Lord, I'm not going to let you get in front of me. A lot of men that don't left this message is because of their wives. Hello? Because of their wives. Wives talk to the husband because she can't go to the pastor herself. She talked to the husband. I think you need to talk to the pastor. This and this is going on, and we sisters got a little struggle in the area. Can you talk to the pastor not to be so harsh on some certain thing? Then the husband go to the pastor. Brother, I want to talk to you. I was thinking about some thing. That's a lie. You was not thinking. That's your wife thinking coming through you to get to the pastor. Hello? You go talk to him, you straighten that pastor out, or you sleep on that chair tonight. Whew. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The attitude toward ministry today, it's a shame. A pastor that live right get persecuted. The pastor that compromise and do wrong get praised. It's backwards. You ought to be thankful for a God man to stand before you in this pulpit, would not compromise with you, but would tell you the truth, not intentionally trying to hurt your feelings, but telling you the truth because he loves you. Amen. The people want soft stuff. Mm-mm. Nope. Praise the Lord. Listen what he named. Father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and own life, because Jesus knows these are the problems that people need to forsake these things. Go to Mark 10. This is all dealing with forsaken. Mark chapter 10. Now, Peter, which he always runs his mouth, Peter does. But bless his heart, at least he was honest. We're going to step in now in the conversation with Jesus had with the rich man, the rich young ruler. And then let's go to verse 2. It said, Jesus looked around about, said to his disciples, how heartless shall a man that had riches enter into the kingdom of God? Amen. It's a shame. You get some people, they might have financial problems, but they'll use the scripture the wrong way. You see there? Money, 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 money. See what Jesus said? No, you got to read everything Jesus said. The love of money is the root of all evil, but there's nothing wrong with having money, long as you don't let the money control you, because money can be your God. Sure. Can we say amen? Didn't the prophet of God say, and be certain of God? He said, anything can be your God. Your job can be your God. Your wife can be your God. Your children can be your God. He said, anything you put before God, actually is your God. Whew. Amen. So listen what he says. And the disciples was astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, saying unto their children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. See how he's balancing it out now. If he would have just left it just the way it was, it looks bad. But Jesus always balanced everything out. He said, they that trust in riches. Amen. Verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Notice now, they are astonished out of measure. Their mind is spinning. Oh my goodness, who can be saved? Who can be saved? One thing we find in the scripture, we can see why Peter would act the way that he act. Even though Jesus had no, he said the foxes have holes, the bird has nests. Jesus didn't come with no money. Can we say amen? He ain't got no money. He ain't got a house. Now asking somebody to follow him. I don't know about you. If somebody asks me to follow me, you know, normally when you want to hook up with somebody, you want to follow. You want somebody. The mentality today, I want to deal with people who got something. If they ain't got nothing, why I'm going to deal with them? That's the mentality today. That's the same thing where young people get in trouble a lot. They want a certain pick, certain type of friends. Can we say, man, they want to pick a friend that they can get something out of them when they have need? That's not real friendship. Is that right? But now notice Jesus telling them to follow him. He has nothing. But the thing about Peter and them, when we look down into the scripture, Peter and them was ignorant and unlearned, but they was not poor people. Peter and them was not poor people. Peter and them had a lot, and then Jesus say, follow me. Are you with me? Amen. Jump down to verse 27. Jesus, looking upon them, said, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Amen. Verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. That impacted Peter. Man, we don't left all, everything, and we don't follow you. See, he taking it personal. You can't fault him for taking it personal, for Jesus to make that statement, but yet he know what he did. But now Jesus come back and give him a promise. Listen what he said. Jesus answered, said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house. If you notice, the scripture we read in Luke, when he was speaking of mother, father, wife, and children, now he's adding a word, house. He didn't mention house in the first scripture that we read. Now he mentioned house. Then he begins to say, house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother or wife or children did he ask another word in, or lands, for my sake and the gospel. So he naming a lot of things that people can get attached to and don't want to let go. He naming all of it, the whole category. Praise the Lord. I can add in there myself, I'm sorry, but church. Because some people sit in the church and they know they ain't where they need to be, but it's because of family. Say, I don't want to get my family stirred. I'm going to stay right here where you're at. And yeah, and then be spiritually dying. God knows how to separate, friends. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Amen. If you try to keep holding on to something, he's going to cause circumstances to make you let go. Can we say amen? Isaiah did not want to let Uzziah go. So what did God do? He caused a circumstance. He called pride to come up into Uzziah's heart. Can we say amen? Amen. Then they had no choice but to come apart. That's the loving hand of God to me, causing circumstances to make us pull apart. Yeah, it's painful, but it's wonderful. Amen. I love this. Jesus just reassured them, everything that you leave, you'll get it back. Verse 30, he said, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers, children and land. I can see Peter now smiling. Whew, that's good. I can get it all back. That's really, really good. Then Jesus looked and said, and with persecutions. And with persecutions. So, well, Lord, you're going to give persecution, but come on now. I forsook all that, but now I've done it. You're going to give me persecution? Yes. To do what? Test you, try you, prove you. Amen. That's why sometimes it's so hard to give up that little friend. And you know they're the wrong friend. Hard to give them up. But you have to give it up. Are you with me? Painful. But you know one thing I can tell you right now, friend, I gave up a lot. God has given it back. It was painful, staying alone, being alone, sleepless night, but it's worth it all because I stood on this gospel. Amen. And that's what I'll do until the day God takes me out of here. I'll stand on this message. Amen. Because I know, that's what, remember what the prophet said in the church age book. What the devil tactic is to cause people to lose confidence in the word. If he can get you to lose confidence in the word, you are stripped. Your armor is gone. Amen. With persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Amen. It's just supernatural. Now, Peter and him walked away from things. Matthew walked away from things. We see many different stories in the Bible, but there had to have been a supernatural element that caused them to do it. They didn't do that within themselves. Something moved on them and they just did it without an explanation and can't even explain. But they did it. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 14. We're going to find in Luke 14 where people gave excuses. But Peter, Matthew, them, they didn't give no excuses. They did what they had to do. But in Luke 14, it teaches us how people use excuses. Listen what it says, verse 16. This is the scripture I'm not reading it all. When they was bidden to come to a great supper, it says, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, and supper time is evening time. He said to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready now. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Same thing we got today, excuses. I don't hear so many excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. But none of them work with me when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for some, they press their way to church. Amen. They press their way to church. They don't work hard. I see people don't work hour after hour, but they're still press their way to church. Amen. And they get into the worship and God sent an anointing upon them. They don't worry about getting sleepy. They just stay strong right there in service. But then some give excuses. You know, I'm just tired. I said, well, on Wednesday you come to church sleepy and you got the same job. Then Thursday when you get off your work, when you go home, you get on Facebook and YouTube. Do you get sleepy? No, you don't. Praise the Lord. It's just excuses is all it is. Because when you are determined, I'm going to worship God. That's why I tell the people in my own church, you get sleepy, stand up. Let the devil know you still going to stand.
Amen.
If that don't help you, lean to the wall. Just do something. Don't lose the battle. Because that'll be the very service God got something he want to speak to you. So don't lose no excuses. Praise the Lord. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Pray thee, have me excuse. Land. I got some land, you know. I got a goal I need to make on this land, so I ain't going to be in service, you know, tonight. I got to really work this land. Okay. Verse 19. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. All of the things Jesus telling them to forsake, you got this group now using it for the excuse. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor and the lame and the halt and the blind. The prophet referred to do. He said, notice he started to begin to do a healing campaign. Bring them all in. Those that were bitten, don't worry about it. We got my house will be full. That's why I'm so thankful, brother and sister. At the wedding supper, there's no extra seat. Praise the Lord. There's no extra seat because all those seats got a predestinated person that's going to be sitting there, and God knows exactly who's going to be there.
Amen.
Amen. Are we all right tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's just jump now. If you jump on down through the scripture, Jesus is going to go back to the same thing in verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out in the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He said, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bitten shall taste of my supper. And there went a great multitude with him. He turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he's showing all of the things that need to be forsaken in some cases. You can't put nothing before the Lord Jesus Christ because he didn't put nothing before you. He went straight to Calvary for you. Jesus didn't use no excuse. Amen. No excuse. I don't want to go. My head is hurt. No, he went to Calvary for Burley Williams. And it was love that drove him there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1. It said it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Notice, they pressed to hear the word of God. We need that today. Press. Press to hear the word of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Pressed. I got to hear them tape today. I got to read my Bible today. I have to. I'm pressed to do it. I can't rest right if I'm not reading the word of God. Let me know there's healing in the word of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friends. I suffered for a long time, about 3 months, with body aches. I mean, when I'm talking about suffered, I suffered. This is just recent. I had a big knot on my neck. I'm going to be honest with you. That knot was on my neck. I'm like, my goodness, I would do everything. I try to pop it. Anything I could think of. Went and got a massage. Seemed like the massage made it worse. I said, man, this is just messed up. It's painful. But when, you know, me and my wife went off and took off a little bit. And when we did, I found myself sleeping 10 and 12 and 14 hours, just sleeping. I felt so lazy, it felt like it was a sin. Sleep, just sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Then I got up and I started reading my Bible. As I began to read, let me tell you something, friend. Revelation starts striking because I start seeing things in the Word. When that revelation starts striking, then God's presence came. That knot just went down and it's gone. Only thing that was nothing but a stress knot. A bunch of stress. But what I need to do is get to the balm of Gilead. Get back into revelation and deep study and in prayer. God took care of that problem. Amen. Actually, I'm just leaping up out of the bed. I just jump up out of the bed. I used to roll out of the bed. Now I can just get up and go. One of you young boys want to race me? I'll race you in my church shoes. No, I ain't going to do that. Everywhere I go, I try to testify. Everywhere I go, I try to testify. My son, they go play basketball sometimes on Sunday. They'll go to a gym, play basketball, and I went with them. No, they don't put on shorts. They put on pants. Keep the pants on. Some use excuse to put the shorts on and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in that. Hello? So he ended up, when I went in there, I had my church suit on, and I said, I'm looking around. This is a good witnessing tool. I sit on the bench. They start playing ball. I'm watching the boys. I saw one of them young boys. I said, I bet you I can dunk. He said, no, you can't. I said, yeah, in this church. Matter of fact, I think this was the suit I had on. I said, I'll do it in this suit. He said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. He said, no, you can't. I said, you want to bet? He said, yeah, I bet you. So I put 100 on it. Then he said, man, you sound too convinced. He said, no, man. I ain't going to do that. You sound too convinced. But what he don't realize, I can't even shoot basketball. But I did it to open a conversation so I can witness. And that's what I did. They shooting ball. Then I sat there. The one come and sat beside me, started talking about the Word. He said, you know, I just bought me a new Bible. I said, really? I said, well, this is my son right here. And they go to my church, and I'm just coming out here to, you know, watch them play. I said, that's what I'm doing. He said, oh, okay. I took the young fella's phone number. Me and him been texting. I'm just waiting on him now to break in. Amen. He got my number now. Seed was planted. Can we say amen? Amen. You never know what's going to come out of that. But everywhere I go, my wife told me I never meet a stranger. I can have a conversation with a rock. Because when you want to talk about the Word of God, I just want to talk about the Word of God. Amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The prophet of God said, when you are convinced, you become concerned. You be concerned about souls. That's right. That's what you become concerned about. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it said, verse 2. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Other word, they was calling it the day. We ain't catching nothing. Ain't nothing going to happen. Maybe tomorrow be a better day. Verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter. So we know that Peter wasn't a broke man. He owned a ship. This didn't say canoe. It says ship. Is that right? Notice, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little room, little from the land. And he sat down and talked the people out of the ship. Here is a man just walking up. I need your ship. What one of y'all would do, somebody was come up to you and say, hey, can I borrow your car? Yeah. I could tell you exactly what you do. I don't know you. I'm going to borrow my car. What's wrong with you? Right? But he just said, I need your ship. Peter's. Then he said, now go on out, thrust out a little bit. Peter just doing it. Not even understanding why. It was a supernatural element taking place. And he was just doing it. Peter didn't ask no question. He just did it. That's why when God moves on your life, don't ask no questions. Just do it. Do exactly what he says. He'll take care of the other side. Launch out into the deep. No, I'm sorry. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, look how beautiful God worked. You let me use your ship free. You ain't charged me nothing. But now let me bless you. God always blesses. But we don't look for him. We do things for God because we love him. We don't serve God, say, God, if I do this, will you give me something back? That ain't how we serve. We just do it. But God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. When he finished using Peter's boat, he said, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a drought. Look how positive Jesus is speaking. Nothing negative. In other words, don't worry about it. You're going to have a drought. You're going to get it. Can we say amen? Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, I will let down the net. You remember Peter and them were professional fishermen. He knew nothing wasn't biting. He knew that because they toiled all night. Now here come a man telling them, let down your net. Then he said the right thing, according to your word. According to your word. That's so important right there. According to your word. I just love the scripture. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Amen. And so also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were his partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Now watch now. These are the disciples, James, John, Peter, right here in this time of their life. This was the payoff. This was the most fish they ever caught in their life. They're at the pinnacle of their business. Are y'all with me? Yeah. They are stunned. We ain't never had a fish like this. They all excited. Jesus said, come on, drop it. Peter could have said, but let me get them separated and get down to the market and, you know, I can get some money. No. Jesus said, come on, follow me. This is what the prophet said in the message, Forsaken All. He said, I would forsake anything in the world. I don't care what it is. Forsaken All, 1962. He said, I don't care what it is to see Jesus Christ manifest himself, especially when it's manifested in my life. That I know that I've passed from death unto life. And I know that he is the Messiah. I know by taking him at his word that he has saved me from a life of sin. And I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I see his signs everywhere pointing to it. I skipped down too far. Let me go back up. He said, the disciples, what did they forsake? Forsake. They had nets, fish nets. They forsook their fish nets to walk with him, see his signs and miracles and his power of being the Messiah. Anybody, note, he said, anybody that would give up a day's fishing to follow that, wouldn't give up a day's fishing to follow that, there is something wrong. They left their nets full of fish. They started to pull and had the biggest catch they ever had. Then Jesus said, forget that. Follow me. Man, but man, I've been with this company so long. Got a good plan, 401k, vacation. I mean, it's just nice. So what, it keeps me out of church? At least I'm in church once a Sunday out of the month. So what's the big deal? The big deal is hindering you. Peter and them could have got all those reasons. Look at how much this company done blossom. And Jesus said, follow me. Are you willing to let go of things? You know you have to forsake it. Are you willing to let it go? For the cause of this gospel? Because whatever you give up, you're going to get it back. Amen. But Jesus wants you to be in union with him and fellowship with him. And sometimes we have to forsake. And he causes things to happen to make us forsake. But the Branham said, we know Rebecca types the bride. She types us. But we type nobody because we're the original. We know the story of Genesis 24. But the Branham made it very plain. Abraham says, we know Abraham was old. This is Genesis 24:1. Well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over that all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. I'm so thankful when the prophet talking to Christ, the mystery God revealed. He said, God has revealed himself through the stories in the Bible, through the people's lives, through the character. God is expressing everything of this great plan of redemption. That's why I love the stories. I love everything because it's showing us the mind of God, what God is doing. We preach on this so much. We know what we're reading right here now. You go to a denomination, they just read it's a story. But I tell her, no, that is more than a story. This is dealing with in search for a bride for Isaac, in which Isaac types Christ. So this is more than a story to us. I said, and in this story, look what Father Abraham did. Everything that he had, he gave it to his faithful servant. For what reason? To go get my son a bride. How many of you believe when that sword fell in Brother Branham's hand, that was Christ giving everything that he had to his servant? That was him giving everything to his servant. What was the purpose, though? I have given you everything that I got for one purpose, to go get me a bride. Amen. So this here is more than a story to us. Amen. And we see here in the scripture, I make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Amen. Abraham said, I'm around all these Canaanites, but I don't want my son having no daughter, no wife from these Canaanites. That's why we tell you young people, get somebody in the message. Not only in the message, but the message is in them, not by knowledge, but by way of birth. You get a birth yourself and God will give you a Holy Ghost husband. He'll give you a Holy Ghost wife, but it starts with you. Some young people say, I don't understand why I ain't got nobody, because God know you ain't ready for nobody because you ain't right yourself. But when you all get right yourself, you know you're right with God. You know you're full of the Holy Ghost. And you know you got a desire to get married. You go to God about that. God will bring everything together, but he wants you first. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, but thou shalt not go into my country and to my kindred. You know what I'm saying? But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred. Take a wife unto my son, Isaac. which we know what Abraham wanted to make sure is blood relation. Amen. You got to marry blood relation. And what makes us blood relation with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's our kinsman redeemer. He had to come down as our kinsman redeemer. What makes it blood relations through the sacrifice that he made for you and me, and we accepting that sacrifice, it makes us become one. Amen. Amen. And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure, the woman would not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son to the land from whence thou camest?" Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou goest not bring my son hither. Dither again." Other words, he's telling you, you got to go down there and get Rebecca, and she need to come out from among her people. "The Lord of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying unto thy seed, will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." I like the way Brother Branham put it. He put it in the message, the time of decision. He said, actually, you can actually preach the seventh seal, a half hour silent. Because Brother Branham said, when Eliezer was on his way to go get Rebekah, he said the angel of the Lord went 30 minutes before him. What was God doing? Eliezer on his way, but the angel went before him working on Rebekah. And she had no idea what was working on her. But it was God working on the other side. Can we say amen? That's why this message come to us. We didn't go to it. Can we say amen? God was working on the other side. God was the one working with your heart, pulling you to him. We can't take those things lightly. Amen. But the brother said that angel went before him 30 minutes, but elevated 30 minutes and spoke to Rebecca's heart, said, "Go to the well and get water." God works on both ends. Can we say amen? Amen? Who brought Adam his wife? God. Can we say amen? Amen. When Adam seen, what did he say? "Bones of my bones. Flesh of my flesh." How did he know that he was asleep? He just woke up. And here she comes. Adam said, "Since I got the mind of God, you a woman." That's exactly what she was, woman. Because at that time, you remember God and Adam was in unity. Adam didn't have his own thoughts. He had God thoughts. They was one. And that's what God trying to take us back to. Let this mind which is in Christ be in you. Can we say praise the Lord? That's just a beautiful story. I don't know why I jumped on that one. Let me get back to this. Well, no. God brought Adam his wife. Adam is the only man. He's the only man that ever was had a good excuse when something went wrong in the house. Only man. God said, "What don't happen?" He said, "The woman you gave me." But the brother said, "You had a choice. Adam did." So you can't say, "Things going a little wrong in the house. Lord, this wife you gave me." Nope. You chose her. She accepted. Don't blame it on God. Hello, somebody. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to be pretty straight, but I'm going to explain something to you. It's even a shame to talk about it, because this is supposed to be the adoption time. Maturity. Believers in their place. But the nonsense that goes on in marriage life is embarrassing. And wondering what they're reflecting to the children. It's embarrassing. You are the ministry before your children. And that's what they're watching. Regardless of what the preachers say, they're watching you. That's why we're supposed to live a life in front of them. Are you with me? How many of y'all know what the word arsenal means? Anybody know what the word arsenal? In military terms, it means to lay up weapons. That's what an arsenal is. Just laying it up for future use. It's an arsenal. Do you realize when you and your wife have your little ups and downs, you get offended with one another? She offends you, you offend her. You need to talk about it. But what you do offend you, I ain't gonna say nothing. I'll just wait. Don't talk about it. Then another day come up, another week pass by, offend you again. I ain't gonna say nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing. Time passed by, just won't talk about it. I ain't gonna say nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing. You know what you're doing? You're putting arsenal into your little artillery. You're building up arsenal. Exactly what you're doing. Then when things get out of hand, one decide they want to talk. We need to talk about this. Okay, let's talk. And while you're talking, because they're so offended, they'd be like, Only thing you're doing is looking through your arsenal, which weapon you're going to throw back to combat what he or she is saying. Okay, what he's saying, okay, that's a 9mm. He got a good point. Okay, so I'm going to have to use a grenade. I'll use a grenade, and I'll throw it at him. That's what I'll do. When it comes to the end of the day, it's just straight up childish. That's what it is. Childish. And then we say we're ready for a rapture. Let me tell you something, friend. You better compare your marriage to what your relationship you have with Christ. Then you'll find out a lot about your own marriage. How do Jesus treat you? That's how you have to treat your wife. Can we say amen? How you respond to Jesus, that's how you're supposed to respond to your husband. That one was free. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a shame. It's a shame. Let me tell you, friends. People just want to try out marriage. Don't, no. You don't try out marriage. You let God help you with that. Amen. Let God help you. I had a young man come to me. Now, they were just in the courtship. He said, he said, this is just messed up. I said, what? He said, well, I was going to go visit the young lady. And, you know, she wanted me to dress like her on that day. And he said, and so I said, he said, I sent her a picture. You know, in courtship, you do stuff like that. When you get married, you don't really care. Don't care you dress like or not, you know, some. He said, you know, I told her I didn't want to wear that tie. I didn't want to go get another tie. I like the one I got. He said, she responded to me, well, don't even come. And I ain't going to take no pictures with you if you do come. He said, man, that kind of got me. I said, let me explain something to you. He was tore up. I said, no, that's wrong. The way she said it, that's wrong. The way she said it, that's an attitude. It's okay. I said, I'm going to help you out. I said, there are some women like to dress their husband. Some, it don't even matter. Can I get an amen? Amen. I said, that's life. So I'm going to give you a good example. I said, if I come to the pulpit, if my tie is crooked and my tie clip is not right, I said, my wife ain't going to get nothing out of the service. He said, huh? I said, only thing she's going to be looking at, how could Burley just building. I said, it's just the way that it goes, man. I said, deal with it. I said, here's my problem. I'm counseling you. This is courtship, but I'm giving you marriage counsel. You ain't even there yet. That's where the problem is at. Hello? I said, you learn each other. Because I'm going to tell you, when my wife select my clothes, she don't just go, no, she be anointed. Yes, sir. I be laying in the bed sometimes, I be looking at her, she be. And I'm like, but if she wasn't look my way, that's her. I have to respect that. Because I come to church, I just throw something on, whether it matches or not. I just want to get to church. You have to respect that. I said, brother, you got to learn to respect that. It's just that's the way that it goes. Amen. I said, now that flips the other way as well. I wear what she want me to wear, and I want her to wear what I want her to. I wear what she want me to wear. She need to wear what I want her to wear. It works both ways. Honey, that's a little too tight. Take it off. She can't be. Nope. Come on now. You're showing too much up there. But that's. And sisters, don't. When you dress a certain way, please don't make this. But I'm wearing this for you. If you're wearing it for him and he say he don't like it, that means take it off. Because that's for you, not him. I'm just doing this for you. No, you're doing it for yourself. If he say he don't like it, he don't like it. Yeah, I don't. It's been an hour now. I'll quit. But it's nonsense. But in those little things, I can respect it. Yeah, I went to go get some shoes with my wife. She was picking out all these colors. No. She said, Fairly. I said, mm-mm, we're going to put my foot down on that one. I said, no. So what did I do? I just went by myself, but went and got my own shoes. So we good. Because there's some things I'm just not going to do. I am not wearing no pink shoes. It just ain't going down. So we're good. I respect her feelings. She has to respect mine. It's called compromising, but not against the word. She loved tea parties. She loves it. I mean, it's overboard to me. She loves it. Do you know how humiliated I feel? Sitting down with little crumbs and picking up a little cup. As a man, I just feel, but I suffer it because that's what she wanted to do. We were sitting at a little tea thing. She just glowing. I'm like, little tea place we went to. I said, where's the meat? Where's the, what? You know you're supposed to bite the stuff. No, I'm gonna chunk it in my mouth. It's hard, man, but that's her. I have to respect that. When you get into marriage, oh, you ain't compromised. No, ain't compromising on this, bro. You will. I said, but it's not bad. Because there's nothing contrary to the word, it's just personal feelings. That's just the way that it goes. I'm just as simple as I can be. I don't, well, I do shop me a walkie twos now. So my wife, she got some pretty good combat. So why do you need, you got about 10 pocketbooks in there. You can only carry one at one time. I don't understand that. She said, well, look at all them twos you got right there. Then I come back, yep. But what you do costs money. But what I got make money. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's all a life of compromise. but not a bad compromise. Don't get to the place, I'm a man. No, I ain't breaking down. I'm the man of this house. I ain't breaking down. Okay, go ahead, hero. Go right on ahead. The day we see you come in church humble, we know you broke down. Because you realize that's life. And then you get some sisters, I'm just going to be real. Trying to control a man through emotions is wrong. What is it there? Bruh, when you start out like that, it'll continue like that. That's why you got to cast down that reasoning, cast down the emotion. No, let's get to the nitty gritty here. Honey, you all right? I'm fine. You sure? Yes. There's nothing wrong. Only thing you're doing is emotional control to get him to keep talking. And brother, she probably doing that also to you because you don't talk enough. You get around the brother, hey, go there, man. Yeah, back up there. After church, get in the car door shut. Silence. The only thing she's now doing is building up a complex. Huh. You sure talk to them, but you don't talk to me. And there's the other side. Because sometimes sisters, your response back to a man when he try to talk to you, the way you respond back negative sometimes makes him not want to talk because he's wondering what you're going to say back negative. So it goes both ways. Both ways. Y'all don't pull me off my notes, but praise the Lord. It's the truth. It's facts. And when you think about it, what I'm preaching now, for us to be in the message so long, this is embarrassing. Shouldn't be this way. But all these little foxes, spoils the vine. All this little bitty, petty, petty, petty stuff. It's time to grow up. I don't know no other word to put it to. I hope Brother Barry invite me back after he see this, but I'm just being honest with you, friends. Nonsense make no sense to me. Let's just get to the nitty gritty. Look at yourself. Judge yourself. Look into the word. Instead of judging one another, look into the word. Where am I at? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing according to the word? Let me do my part. Praise the Lord. It's just the way that it goes. But I ain't going to read all of this. But what I wanted to get to, Brother Branham made a very profound statement that we, if it wasn't from a prophet making them statement, we just brush right over it. He said when Eliezer came down now with Rebekah, to get Rebekah, he said he had two problems. He said the two problems that he had was Rebekah's brother and her mother. He said, those are two problems. And then he typed that in. He said, that's why messengers have problems. He said, the mother, Catholic Church, the brother, preachers. He said, that's where Eliezer's problem was. But here's the thing. She listened to a stranger, someone she did not know. She listened to what he said. He made a prayer. The damsel that would come, give me a drink, and then offer to water my camels. Let that be the one. Eliezer never mentioned nothing to Rebekah about camels. He just said, can I have a drink from your pitcher? Then she said, yes, and I'll water your camel. Then Eliezer said, that's the one. Because that was that angel, that anointing on Rebekah. Because he said he prayed in his heart. God listening to all of it. The angel went before him and he was dealing with Rebekah. Can we say praise the Lord? And she did not. She just said, I'll water your camels. She did not look up and count them because it was 10 of them. She didn't say, I'll water your camels. Then say, ooh, I didn't know about that many. I probably shouldn't have said that. Nope. Because one camel can take 25 gallons of water. Just one. So that was 10. So there was 250 gallons of water she gave those camels. Anybody here in construction? Anybody? You know about them 5-gallon paint buckets? Ain't that right, brother? Them 5 gallon paint bucket, they're not light. They're not light. You hopefully you burn two because you can pick them up and balance yourself. Because if one, you're going to be. Now, if you're young and want to show your strength, I'm just being honest. When I go to Home Depot, especially at the end of the day, and I have to get paint, I be seeing them women sliding them buckets. I be like, ooh. I said, wow. I said, y'all making me look bad. They just scooping them up. But them things are heavy when you carry them all day. So that's 250 gallons of water. And that 5 gallon buckets is heavy. So how many buckets would that be for her to water all those cameras to keep dipping? So you got 250 gallons. And you got a 5 gallon bucket. Anybody good in math? Because I ain't. But it's a lot. There was a lot of carrying. There was a lot of watering. But it did not tire her. Why? She was under the supernatural. And then, when they tried to stop her, a man she never seen, they asked her, will you go? She said, I'll go. That don't make no human sense. But it was a supernatural element taking place all along, causing those things to happen. So when God is speaking to you, God is talking to you, respond. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So many people I've seen, musicians could come, they went through a lot of stuff in life and hurt now, wounded from it, bruised from it. That's not the end. What do you want to do about it? What do you want to do about it? If you're falling, do you want to get up? Do you want to be up? Are you going to keep making excuses to stay down? No, what are you going to do about it? It's not about all him in town we falling. It's when you get up. If you fall 7, you got to get up 8. Is that right? Because let me tell you something, friend. God is doing so many wonderful things. We're seeing this new pope. We're seeing Trump. I'm sure y'all seen the video when that priest blessed Trump. He told Trump, you remind me of the great Constantine, which I always believed Trump had the spirit of Constantine on him. I always believed that. Just to confirm. All these things, brother and sister, is just lining up to get up out of here. So people say, well, I wonder what people around the message think about now. Don't left the message. Look at that new pope. I wonder what they think now. They thinking the same thing. The message wrong. They thinking the exact same thing. Ain't nothing going to change them. The scripture tells us, even when that man was down in hell, he said, send somebody up there. Talk to my family. If they hear somebody come from the dead, they'll listen. He said, no, they got prophets. Someone coming from the dead ain't going to change their mind. Think about it. The people knew Lazarus. They knew he died. They knew he was dead 3 days. Then he rose. Now they say, ain't that the one that was dead 3 days? And he even stank. Wow. Wow. Many of them seen that still didn't follow the Lord. That's why I have to be something contacting down in here. That's why I actually plead with people. If you're poor, if there's a poor still down in there, don't let the devil tell you cross the line, because you did, because that's God still pulling. You can come out of the worst situations and God can make it a testimony. That's what I love about it. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. We don't lose. We don't lose. We go through a lot, but we do not lose. I know I probably said this here before, but I'm so determined. I'm so determined to keep pressing on. I got to a place, I said, youth meetings, I love them. I said, I can't relate to the young people no more. I said, man, let some other people do it. I said, because things don't change so much. I said, just let me just call on other preachers to do them. Then I was talking to a young boy. He said, Brother Burl, I want to say something to you. He said, I've been to a lot of camps. He said, I've been to a lot of them. He said, but I want to say this to you. He said, you are the one can really get down where we're at and really speak to us. When he said that to me, I said, Satan, you in trouble. You in trouble. That encouraged me. I said, now where's that next youth meeting? Invite me to come, because I'm coming off of the devil. That encouraged me. Because sometimes you feel like nothing is getting across. man, you're not even listening. But when you can hear the young people come back. Then when I come back, another sister came to me. She said, Brother Bird, I was just at a meeting a week ago. She said, I was in the kitchen, working in the kitchen. A young girl said, what church you go to? She said, I go to Brother Burley Church. She said, oh, my goodness. She said, sister, let me testify. She said, he preached at a certain place when I was 16. She said, that's when I got converted. Come to the Lord. You know what that do? It give me muscles. Somebody is listening. You don't understand what preachers go through sometimes. Sometimes you're like, God, is this anything happening? We got to get out of there as minister and just realize you preached. Now let God do what he's going to do. Let the Holy Spirit going to do what he's going to do. You believe that message come from God, let God deal with the people now. That's what you have to do. We have complexes and stuff too. But that encouraged me. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. So I'll deal with young people till the day I die. Amen. If I'm 86 years old, I'll still do a youth meeting. I might be slower, but I'll do it. Praise the Lord, because that's where my burden is at. That's where my heart is at, because I know one thing, if you can get the young people converted, if they get converted, they can help the young. That's why I love these young ministers stepping up now. And it's not even just being a preacher, but just serving the Lord, being a testimony. That means a lot. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. We thank you, dear Jesus, for your word. Forsaking all. Sometimes that's a painful thing to do, Lord. But you shake the trees. You shake things to let us begin to realize, hey, this individual in my life, it's hindering me. The situation that I'm in is hindering me. And I know I need to break loose from it. Heavenly Father, that's you doing that to that individual, because you're calling them to come closer to you. Oh God, we love you. We love your people. And I just pray that even if it's just one tonight, you spoke to them, that means a lot to me, because your word will not return unto you void. So Father, we just pour out our heart, forsaking all, and that's what it has to be in this day, but we don't lose. Sometimes we got to walk that lonely walk, but we're not lonely because you're there. Oh God, we thank you for your grace and mercy. May you be with Brother Barry and them in the meetings. Oh God, the missionaries out there hazarded in their lives out there in these mission fields. All of the travel, the pain, stress on the body. But yet, just trying to get out there and spread this gospel. I pray for them tonight as well, Lord, knowing how it is and travel. May you be with them, dear Jesus. And we place everything into thy hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church says, amen. Anyone need prayer tonight? Amen. May God bless you then. Are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. So, till we meet again, I pray, Brother Barry, let me come back one day. But friends, I just don't know no other way to preach. I just preach what's in my heart. That's all I know. I've been beat at, I've been talked about, but I'm still strong. I just be honest with you. People come at me. I just ask simple questions. What did I say? Or what did I do? It's contrary to the word. Can you show me that? Don't tell me I feel like. Don't tell me that. Can you show me that? Well, no. I said, get off my back. That simple. Brother Brandon did the same thing. He said, then get off my back. Because we're going to press on. You're going to be persecuted. All these things happening. It's just setting up for the squeeze and everything to come. Friends, if we're breaking on small things now, what about that which is to come? If you're breaking now, you're going to break then. God is strengthening his bride through tribulations, through persecution. It's called to strengthen us, not to break us. Do you believe that? Look at what you're going through the right way, not the negative way. But remember,
If you buffet it for your own faults, to get out of it is repentance. That's the way out. God bless you, brother.
I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be. Oh, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar, so draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be.
Just sing this and you're dismissed this evening. We won't hold you very long tonight. Just keep in mind the service this coming weekend and those who are not with us and that aren't feeling well. So I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give. He won't.
could ever, ever outlove the Lord. So let me walk with you, Jesus. So